this year's Haggadah Shir, which would all be new, but feel free, there's many years worth, and now there's a Haggadah out that has some of the, what? 5:30. Is that where we're going to start? So I want to get at least an hour in. That'll be more, but we'll see. Okay, so but now we'll just go through, I'll give you other things that I'm not going to be mentioning there in the afternoon. There's other, some of my favorite ones. That I got that tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow I'm speaking in Shalvin for women in the morning, so I don't have to come here. And so I'll be here for Shir, but we're going to do, I'll just give you at least part and see how much you get. My Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, which is one of them. That'll be tomorrow's, probably won't be able to do it in one day, probably tomorrow and Wednesday. Okay? Good. Isha, come here. Oh, you want to, someone else to record? Is this recording? Okay, it's recording it. Okay, but feel free to come here or come here. Okay, so we start with the simanim, right? We're going to go in order as much as we can. Start with the simanim, Hadesh, Orchatz, right? And that goes way back. That goes back probably 1,000 years that we have these simanim. What is the purpose of these simanim? It's good to have if you missed the first part, it's okay. Just go get some paper and pen. What are the, missing anybody else? Tell the Tano to come here if he wants. What is the purpose of these simanim? What are we doing there? So, two ideas, two thoughts. You guys have two siddurim, so two ideas. Number one, a thought that I like is that there was a rabbi in Chicago named Rabbi Sender. He has a couple of haggadahs out. Please, you have a pen and paper, it might be good. Don't take notes. So Rabbi Sender says. He has four Haggadahs. One is called the Pesach Seder, one is called the Pesach Seder Haggadah, the commentator's Pesach Seder. Well, it's probably called the commentator's whatever. Seder, Haggadah. He has one, something on Rosh Chodesh, something on Al Nisan, on Purim. Anyway, so he says, imagine you're going on a trip. Right, B'Hashem, some of you are going to Poland this week. Right, so imagine you didn't prepare anything. Right, you get on a plane, you land, you're like, okay, let's go to the cemetery. Oh, it's closed on Tuesdays. Oh, let's go here. Oh, you had to make our previous reservation there. You know, if you go on a trip and you don't plan things out beforehand, and you don't have an itinerary, then you're not going to get so much out of the trip. Right? You're gonna get there, and it's going to be closed. You have to make a reservation. If you want to get the most out of your trip, I have another pen and pencil. Yeah, okay, right? You let me know. Okay, if you want to get the most out of your trip, you have to have an itinerary beforehand. You have to plan out. You have to, you know, where you're going, where you're heading. You know, what exactly is the purpose of each stop, and every stop that you do, you know, is going to impact, you know, the next stop. These simanim are our itinerary. This is our plan. This is our. And you come closer. Come closer. Right. It's our itinerary. It's our plan. It's what we want to what we want to get out of the trip. You know, our first stop's going to be Kadesh. Then Urchatz. We know Hamotzi Matzah is over there. You have the whole plan. That's how you get the most out of your trip. So idea number one, this is our itinerary, and that's how we get the most out of our trip. That's called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's another part that I like to quote over, and that's I think from one of the Rebbes. I forgot which one. But he quotes, we don't want the simon, what the purpose of the simanim are at the beginning, Kadesh Rochatz. So, simanim, your machzor and aveda with simanim, right? We know from Eilu Nesius, right? If somebody gives simanim, then you can give him back their aveda. The whole year we're lost. The whole year we can't find our true self. We're like an aveda. So, why are they called simanim? These are our simanim. These are our identifying features. On the night that we were born nationally, right? We were born tonight. We give our simanim, and then we recognize ourselves, and we get ourselves back. Right? We get our aveda back by focusing on the process that these simanim are stand for. So this is that's in terms of an introductory thought about the simanim. Okay. Next, so we're about to fulfill, keep in mind, the Vilna Gaon once said that there are 64 mitzvahs that you could do at the Seder. So I'm not going to go through all of them, I don't even know what they are. There are 14 related to Korban Pesach. But generally what's said is, tonight we're going to do four unique mitzvahs. The Gra said 64, but the four unique, the Gra included benching and Atilas Yadayim and a lot of things that we always do. But there are four unique mitzvahs that we have for the Seder. We know we have Sibri Tzis, Mitzrayim, and Matzah. Those are both Daraisa. And we have Dalad Kosos and Mara. Those are the two Durabana. So there is a question, this is an introductory question, that you can mention this at any time during the Seder. And you could also, you're allowed to mention these thoughts during the day meals also. I am a radical, you could use them during the day also. Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim, we don't have a bracha on. Why don't we make a bracha on Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim? Right before we start the Seder, we should say, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, L'Saper B'Nisim, and it flows, Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim? So, there are a couple of answers given. You know, one is, no, that's wrong, we do make a bracha. Right, what bracha? Asher Golanu. Right, Asher Golanu. Right, we say at the end of Magid. Which one might say, like, okay, so then why do we make it at the end of Magid, not at the beginning of Magid? Right, but that's answer number one. Parenthetically, I'll tell you a really cool, quick one-line story that you should say at your Seder at some point. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he's a Rav in Beit Shemesh. He's the son of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Right, so he's one of the sons of Rav Aaron from Chicago. Anyway, so he told me once that he was sitting at his father's Seder with Rav Aaron. And after Asher Golan, he says to his father, isn't that the most beautiful bracha? And his father says, no, it isn't. He's like, I wasn't expecting that answer. He's like, what is the most beautiful bracha? He says, Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar is the most beautiful bracha. That all of our plumbing is working properly. That we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. We say in Asher Yatzar, Golev Yadua Levnei Kisei Chavodecha. It's my orifices are known to you on the Kisei HaKavod, the highest level that. So that's what he's like, okay. So Rav Aaron said, and those beautiful brachas Asher Yatzar. Okay, so they could both be beautiful brachas. But anyway, so one upshot is we do say a bracha, Asher Golanu. What else? Why else wouldn't we say a bracha on our Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim? What? So some say there's no shear, there's no amount, meaning Kolam Arba Reza Meshubach. Excellent. We mentioned earlier this year at some point from the Nesivos. The Nesivos. We've mentioned the Nesivos a lot this year. His most famous is known as the Nesivos, but we know many of the Svarim, right? The Torah's Gittin on Gittin, the Beis Yaakov on Ksubis, the Nesivos on Mishpat, on Choshe Mishpat, right? What else? The Chavas Das on Yeridea. And the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. That's the Nesivos. The Maisa Nisim Haggadah. So there, the Shechem loves to quote this Nesivos. I've heard him say it many times. I was never in Rav Shechem's Shir, but I've heard many hundreds of hours of Shirim in the car, because I was in the car for many hours. Anyway, so the Nesivos says, Chazal did not institute a bracha when the mitzvah itself is a bracha. Or it's done in the context of brachas. We don't make a bracha before we bench. We don't say, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvanu L'Varech Al HaMazon, and then bench. We don't make a bracha before we daven. Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvanu L'Hispalel. That's a mitzvah. Why don't we make a bracha before we daven? Before we bench? The answer is, because benching is a mitzvah. The Chazal didn't make a bracha on a bracha. Right? Or a mitzvah that's done in the context of brachos. CBC's Mitzrayim is done in the context of four of mitzvos. A brachos. Right? Benching. Kiddush. Right? Go in order. Kiddush. Magid. Benching. And Hallel. Those are four separate brachos that we make for those mitzvos. So if you have four brachos related, so you're not going to make a bracha where the mitzvah itself is done in the context of a bracha. That's why 2 weeks ago we didn't make a bracha on Parshas Zachar. Right? We didn't make a bracha on Parshas Zechiras Amalek. One of the reasons is because it's done in the context of laning, and you make Berachas HaTorah anyway on laning. Okay. So that's introductory thoughts. We have Kadesh, Urchatz. What? Also Kriyashma. Also Kriyashma, exactly. Berachas Kriyashma. So we don't make a separate bracha on Kriyashma. Okay. Kadesh, Urchatz. Karpas. Okay. Karpas. This one's awesome. So I've had over the years people, again, I hate to build things up because sometimes people are inspired by different things. But I've had a number of people over the years that say that this was, I mentioned this like 15 years or whatever, like, oh, the Karpas thought. So some of these favorite ones are in the Haggadah. But anyway, so Karpas. What's the word Karpas? Like, what is that? So the one that's in most Haggadahs are, oh, Karpas backwards is Samach Perech. Samach, which is 60, but it could mean 600,000. Perech, that do Avodas Perech, hard work. Okay. That's a nice part. But maybe there's something deep you hear about the word. What does the word Karpas come from? So Karpas, oh, it's the vegetable that you dip so that the children ask. Okay, but what is the word Karpas?
I have no idea what it actually means.
What?
I have no idea what the word means.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it means. Look at any English translation and it says Karpas. K-A-R-P-A-S. Right, that's all it says. So there are a number of sources. I'll give you one, Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach is a commentary on the Rambam. He says, you know why we did Karpas? Why do we dip Karpas? So the kids will ask, but why did Chazal pick that? Like a dipping. Rabbeinu Manoach says, we dip Karpas because according to the Zohar and other sources, Shibud Mitzrayim started with Mechiras Yosef. The brother sold Yosef, and a little bit as a punishment of that, and as the beginning of that whole thing process, we went down to Mitzrayim, right? They sold Yosef as a slave, we ended up being slaves. At the beginning of Haggadah, we dip. We dip. Why? Because they dipped. They dipped Yosef's clothing in blood. We are not allowed to eat blood, so we can't dip in blood. So we take salty water. Okay, something salty. And you dip, and you remember at the beginning of your Seder, remember that, you know, Mechiras Yosef. That's one of the reasons we got into trouble in the first place. So you have the Rabbeinu Manoach, and now it's a Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev, which until I heard this Vart about 25 years ago, I never caught the Rashi. We do Maver Sedra, you know, for years, but never caught the Rashi. Rashi says, Ksona is Pasim. What does the word Pasim mean? What does the word Pasim mean? It's a Rashi. I'm not asking you like Zohars. Right? What does Rashi say on the word Ksona is Pasim? Rashi says, Lashon Klei Milas. Pasim is fancy material. Like silk. Kimo. Like where in Tanakh does it talk about fancy material? Chur, karpas, and stainless. Oh, it was right, come on. Describing the curtains in the beginning of the Megillah in Achashverosh's palace. Chur, karpas is the word. It's in the Megillah. Describing the fancy material that the curtains were made of. Rashi quotes it. We call it karpas because that's the fancy material that Yosef's coat was made of. And we dip it because we remember the sinas chinam that caused it. That's why we dip. That's why it's called karpas. That's something. Okay. So why? You have to dip something. So I'm saying, so what are you going to dip? You have to dip a type of food. You're not dipping bread yet. Right? So matzah, you can't have matzah until you do the mitzvah of achilas matzah later. So a vegetable or a fruit, that's be one of the two. But either way, so you pick a vegetable so you can be yotzei the mitzvah of maror later and have in mind, you can do anything with adama. It's on Ksonas Pasim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasik Gimel. On the word Ksonas Pasim. I remember I heard that years ago. I think I was driving to YU like 35 years ago. I'm like, had to pull over. I'm like, whoa. Okay. I'm like, you read the Rashi, you hear the Megillah. You all know the Pasuk. Okay. Karpas. Yachatz. And then we start Magid. Okay. Again, introductory thought to Magid. Why is there so much, what? Who's that, what, the Karpas start? I originally heard it from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who was the Rav of Ner Yisrael. Right, you know him? Rav Ner Yisrael? From, you know, his son is a Emmanuel Bernstein who gives shiurim in England. From England. Yeah. So Rabbi Isaac Bernstein used to give parsha shiurim that I used to get recordings of. He was nifter at a young age. But anyway, it shows you that... what? Right, Bernstein is from London. He's from London, yeah. He gave a parsha shiurim in that shul. What? No, but he gave the Parsha Shir every week in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Rav of a less frum shul, a very large shul. I don't know. That's a pretty frum shul. Yeah. So, it wasn't. No, you go, or if you look in Eretz Yisrael, you know, even in Eretz Yisrael, right, in the right, there's like a base medrash on the right side. All of the svarim stay inside of it, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. Because he was nifter at a young age, they gave all of his farm to the shul. So I never met him, but he was a rav in, he was from Ireland. He was a rav of a non such a firm shul, but he gave a parsha shir. They're all on. You do if you want another all parsha. You know there's an app all parsha. It's a his shir, and they put on there. All three. Took a look. All right, Bernstein. I listened to his. They used to be like tapes. They used to get from like people. Anyway, so we start Maggid. So Maggid, as we know, the whole night has a focus on family. Right? Vigat Labincha. Why is there such a focus on family at the Seder? More than any other holiday. Right? More than any other holiday, it's about family. So there's a Haggadah called, and there's this commentary called Shemen HaTov. Shemen HaTov is Rabbi Dov Weinberger. It's his name. He was a Rav of the Young Gizel of Williamsburg. This is now, this is just introduction to Maggid. Yachatz, I have something on Yachatz, but I'm going to tell you at 5:30. So I don't want to say anything that I'm going to say at 5:30 here. I'm going to try not to overlap. Why is it such a common family? So Shemen HaTov, he has seven svarim out on different things. He has Haggadah out. So he says that, remember when Chum did something terrible to Noah, his father? Right, different shot than what he did. Did he castrate him? Did he just look at him when he was naked? But he did something bad. He was cursed. Right? He says, what was the curse that Noah gave to Chum? Eved avadim yelecha. You're going to be an Eved. You're going to be an Eved. Halachically, what's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Cholin? Halachically. An Eved, the Gemara says, Eim lo yachas. Has no connection to family. The Eved is not related. Eved Kanani is not related. Being a free person is all about family. Family, we're connected to each other. That's the definition of a free person. Chum rejected his father. So what was he cursed at? Okay, you have no family. Right, that's why Chum was cursed in that way. He was mevaza his father. Okay, you don't appreciate family? I'll cut you off. We celebrate our family at the Seder because we celebrate that we're free. B'nei Chorin have family. And that's why there's such a focus of family at the Seder. You got to have the short ones, you got to have the longer ones. So, okay, so Halach Ma'anya. Let's start the Maggid. Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, there's a lot to say by Halach Ma'anya. So, first of all, right, we say Lashon Haba Ba'aretz Yisrael. Lashon Haba Bnei Chor. I was just reading yesterday. There's a Haggadah, the Mesifta. The Mesifta has a Haggadah out. It has 10 differences that the Seder is going to change in when Mashiach comes. Like 10 changes. So one of them is we're going to take out this last line of Halach Ma'anya because we're going to be in the Beis Hamikdash. Hashanah Lashon Haba Bnei Chor. No, we're going to be there. Lashon Haba. So we're going to take it out. It's cool. Anyway, so but what are we doing? Hashata Avdei Lashon Haba Bnei Chor. Like. We're going to say Lashon Haba Yerushalayim at the end of the Seder. So, that's a wish. But what are we doing now? Now we're Avadim, next year we're B'nei Chorin, now we're here. So, Rabbi Ganak. Rabbi Ganak is a Rabbi in Englewood, New Jersey. He has a sefer called Gan Shoshana. Anyways, he writes, giving Shad al-Lachmani, he says, imagine a mashal. Because imagine you have somebody who's in jail. Been in jail for 30 years. But they tell him, tomorrow you're going free. Tomorrow you are going free. He's still in jail. But what's he going to look like? What's he going to look like? He's going to be walking. He's like already free. He has a step in his, he has a jump in his step. He's still in jail, but you know what? He's free. What if there's somebody at home that knows he's going into, they're going to lock him up tomorrow for 30 years? He's still home, but he's already in jail. It's about mentality. Your state of being is about your mentality. If you think freedom, you are free. tonight, no, until Mashiach comes, we're still in Golas. But you know what? It's about thinking freedom. It's about Lashana Haba B'nei Chori. It's about being told, Hashem promised that we're going to go out in the future. So this first paragraph puts us into that state. Puts it into the state of being free. And maybe it relates to the other line in this paragraph. Right? What do we say in the previous line? Kol Diffin, whoever's hungry, Yesid Yechol, whoever wants to come and eat. So all the Haggadah, some questions are in every Haggadah. Who are we kidding? Who are we inviting? The door's closed. We're sitting at our Seder. It's not like even later on we'll open the door for Eliyahu Navi. But if you really want to invite somebody, you should invite them with the door open. Or do it in Shul. What are we saying? Kol Diffin, Yesid Yechol. Who are we kidding? Nobody's going to hear us. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we're not really inviting anybody. But we're doing an act that shows we're the Baal Bas. The butler doesn't invite guests. The maid doesn't choose who's coming for dinner. We're Baal Batim tonight. We're free. We make choices. We decide who's coming to dinner. So we look towards the future and we wish towards, you know, freedom. But we also even just, you know, do a fake invitation. It's a fake invitation. It's not a real invitation. It's a fake invitation, as if to show that this is something that free people do. That free people do. Good. So that's a little bit, again, we could spend the whole shiur on each one of these paragraphs, but I'm going to try to get through. Halach manya. What's next paragraph? Manishtana. Manishtana alayla zeh mikala lelos. So, just tell you what the Rambam. Oh. Okay, two things. Number one is the Rambam. If you look closely at the Rambam's Lashon, Manishtani is one of the oldest parts of the Seder. Right, it comes from the Mishnah. After the Pesukim, the Torah, that's the oldest part of the Seder. But after that, the next oldest part is from the Mishnah. Manishtani is in the Mishnah. So if you look in the Rambam says. Vikan, the language of the Mishnah, Vikan HaBen Shoel. Right here, the son asks. Write down these words. This is what the Rambam, this is the Rambam's Lashon. Vikan HaBen Shoel. Here, the son asks. That's the language of the Mishnah. And then the Rambam says, Va'omer HaKorei Manishtana HaLayla Zemikolayos. Again. Vekana ben Shoel, that's the language of Chazal. And then the Rambam adds in two words, V'yomer HaKorei. The Korei says, Manishtana, then we have all the four questions. So the Mefarshim point out that according to the Rambam, Manishtana is not four questions. It's four statements. V'omer HaKorei. Right? The kid asks, Vekana ben Shoel, the kid asks about all the differences that he sees. V'omer HaKorei. Manishtana is part of the answer. The Omer Kori, the Kori says, Manish, don't say it as Manishtana. No, Manishtana. How different is this night? Like Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. How awesome are your actions, Hashem? Manishtana, this night is so unique and special. Shabbat Shalom. That's the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan also says that. But just the Ber HaChayim, Rabbi Bitterman says, and we do this at our Seder, after I saw this two years ago, he says, what do I want to start saying? V'kana ben Shoel, and here the son asks, Omer Kore, says the Ber HaChayim, this moment at the Seder is an Eis Ratzon to ask Hashem for whatever you want. V'kana ben Shoel. Here the son asks. We're children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask. So we take 2 minutes at our Seder and we're quiet. And I say, just think about something and ask Hashem. Because this is the moment that Hashem, our Father, is listening. To Kana Ben Shoel. It's very powerful. So that's Manishtana. Yeah. The Rambam says it in Hilchos Chametz Maaser. It's not hard to find the Rambam. There's only two problem about the Haggadah, about the Seder in the Rambam. And the Rav HaShulch on Manishtan, if you look, I forget, Tafayim Dalad, whatever the simon is. Okay, Manishtan, and Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu Leparab Mitzrayim. We were servants. I said 3 months ago in Shir, anybody remembers, that I'm going to tell you a vart, Parsha Shmos, but I'm going to tell it to you again at the Haggadah Shir. Because it's worthwhile. So again, what was the vart? We'll write it again now, because I might not remember. Why does it say, Avadim Hayinu Laparo B'Mitzrayim, and not Avde Paro Hayinu? That would have been smoother. Avde Paro Hayinu. What do you mean, Avadim Hayinu Laparo? Avde Paro Hayinu. Like we have in Hallel, Avde Hashem. We become Avde Hashem. That's simpler. Why does it say, Avadim Hayinu Laparo? So the Rav said, Rav Soloveitchik said, let's go back to the Sneh. The first time that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And where the Geula started. Right, that was really the beginning of the Geula from Mitzrayim, was at the Sneh. So if you remember at the Sneh, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go. Didn't want to go. And one of his complaints was, they don't deserve it. Bnei Yisrael don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be redeemed. They're also all the Avodah Zarah. What does Hashem show Moshe? A bush that's not being burned. Why is that the best thing to show Moshe? Why is that most appropriate? You know what Hashem is telling Moshe? The outside of the Jews look like they're being burned, but you know what? The inside is pure. The inside is perfect. It's just, they're being burned on the outside because there's external influences, but inside a Jew is pure. Moshe is like a burning bush. Don't think that they're gone. Only the outside of the bush is burning, but the inside, the Jew is perfect and pure. What? What? What is Moshe? Moshe said, I don't think the Jews deserve to be redeemed. Right, I don't think they, what was the last time Moshe was in the shrine, remember? They ran him out of Egypt. They told on him. Oh, he's trying to dust on Abiram. So Hashem tells Moshe, no, don't give up. Don't give up on the Jewish people. They just look like they're being burned on the outside. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a big difference between Avde Paro and Avadim Hayinu Laparo. Avde Paro would have meant an identification with Paro. We're Avde Paro. Avadim Hayinu Laparo is a social reality. We were Avadim to Paro, but we weren't Avde Paro. We didn't identify with him. We were still pure inside. And that's the difference. We became afterwards Avde Hashem. Yes. That's a total identification. That's a total identification. Difference between Avde Paro and Avadim Hayinu Laparo. That's Avadim Hayinu Laparo. Good. And the paragraph continues. This is my Shabbos HaGadol Drasha last year on that line. But I'll just give you one line of it. It's the Maharal. The Maharal, all the Maharal Svarim are based on what they're called Gvuras Hashem and Netzach Yisrael and Tiferes Yisrael. It's all based on one pasuk. We say it every morning. L'cha Hashem Agdula v'Agvura v'Tiferes v'Hanetzach v'Yahod. Those are all the Maharal Svarim. Gvuras Hashem, Tiferes Yisrael. Gvur is on Pesach, and Tiferes, I think, is on Shavuos, and Netzach, right? Netzach Yisrael. So the first page of the Maharal Sefer on Pesach, he asked this question. Right? The more you do, Areza Meshubach. Isn't that a violation? There's a Gemara in Brachas and in Megillah. Two places. Remember this Gemara? There was a chazan that went to be the chazan in Rabbi Chanina Shul. And he started being the chazan and started doing Chazaras HaShatz. And he started, okay, El Agad, El Gibar, Bahanora, awesome, stupendous, amazing, super. He added on 25 different adjectives to Hashem. He added on more. So Rabbi Chanina asked, waited for him to finish, and then he went over to him and says, excuse me, siyamtinu kol shifchei demarech, now you got it? Now you got now you really captured HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your adjectives? It's impossible. So who are you kidding? You say the four that Moshe Rabbeinu told us to say. That's it. Hakel HaGadol HaGibur HaNora. Boom, that's a pasuk in Akef. No more. You can't say more. Because you're never going to finish. Asks the Maharal in the first page of the Sefer on Pesach. So how do we say Kalam Rabbi L'Saba or Rizam Shubach? Right, you're not allowed to. Call him Arba. So Maharal says, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina. It's in Brachas Lama Gimel. Brachas Lama Gimel, I think, on the base. So, says the Maharal, there's a difference between Shevach and Hodah. Praising Hashem, okay, there are certain limits. Saying thank you, there are no limits. And tonight's a night about saying thank you. The Seder, the entire Seder is about saying thank you. Not just about praising Hashem, it's about thanking Hashem. And there's never a limit to thanking Hashem. Right, that's one of the reasons, right, later on in the Haggadah when we darshan psukim, we quote psukim and we quote drashas, very strangely, we quote a three psukim and midrashim from Parshas Kisavo, Mikra Bikurim, which is a summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why don't we just talk about, you know, all the psukim in Shmos? You know why? The Baalei Haggadah explained, because Mikra Bikurim is all about Hakaras HaTov. And that's what we want to capture tonight. And that's why there's no limit. Kolamar belasapa reza meshubach. You're going to talk about how great Hashem is, because it's all Hodah tonight. There's no limit by Hodah. Okay. That's Avada Mayinu. Next. Maisa, Rabbi Akiva, the five rabbis. The five rabbis. What were they all doing there? Why weren't they in their own towns? Why they all come to Bnei Brak, which was the town of Rabbi Akiva? He was the Mar Da'asra. But they all came there. Blazman Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon. Why'd they all come to Bnei Brak to Rabbi Akiva? Why weren't they home? So the Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah. Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah is called Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim. The Aruch HaShulchan in Haggadah says, and again, this is a part you could say, it's very usable. He says, you look throughout Shas. You look throughout Shas, there are 10 different stories about Rabbi Akiva. He's always the optimist. He's always the one that sees things in a positive way. Or you tell me, what are some stories about Rabbi Akiva? The end of Makos. Everybody else is crying when they see the fox over Harabayas. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Oh, it's great! Right, what else? What? All his Talmidim died, and he said, no, we can keep going. Exactly, he's outside the city with the chicken and the horse and the candle. Gamzu Latova. He didn't say those words. He said, Kol David Rachman Latabav. Anything Hashem does is for the good. He's being killed. And his Talmidim say, Rebbe, why are you smiling? He's like, I've been waiting for this moment all my life. Unfathomable. Rabbi Akiva is always the optimist. He was 40 years old. He didn't know any Torah. Right? He sees the water on the rock. He's like, oh, if the rock could become soft, so can my heart. Unbelievable. Rabbi Akiva was always known as the optimist. These Tanaim, when did they live? 150 years after the Churban. Maybe you walked around Yerushalayim and you still smelled the smoke, the ashes Imagine what Pesach was like in those years. Imagine how depressing it was when the main course of the Seder was not there. You call this a Seder? Where's the Korban Pesach? You want us to be happy today? Come on! They went to Rabbi Akiva to get chizuk. They went to Rabbi Akiva because they knew he was the one who could lift them up. He was the one that could put things into perspective. Let me add on one. So you got him down? You could ask at your Seder. Who knows stories about Rabbi Akiva? So just write him down quickly so you remember. Number one, you had the story of the Endomachus with the fox. Number two, what do we mention? Right, he stayed outside the town. Nobody let him in, so he had to sleep outside of the town. That's the Gemara of the Endomachus, the Samach around. Right, that's the story with the chicken and the horse. That was number two. Number three, when he's being killed. That's also the Endomachus. That's a daf later. Two dafim, one after the other. Where else? Right? The Gemara in Yevamos, that he starts again after he lost 24,000 Talmidim. He kept looking forward. Number five, the water on the rock. That's an Avos Derebi Nasan. I think it's in Perek Vav. It's one of the little, it's like the expansion of Perkei Avos. I'll give you one more. The last Mishnah in Yuma. Remember what Rabbi Akiva says at the end of Yuma? Ashreichem Yisrael. Who's your mikvah? Hashem's your mikvah. Why did Rabbi Akiva say that? Hashem is the one that's netar you. Because remember, Yom Kippur. Imagine Yom Kippur after the Churban. Where's the Kohen Gadol? Where's the Sir Lazazel? How are we going to get Kapara? It's all we're done. We can't have a Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Hashem is the mikvah. Just do tshuva and come close to Hashem. My mikvah matar si tamei ma'af hakadosh baruch hu matar si Yisrael. He has that attitude even in Churban. That's why they went to Bnei Brak. They went to Bnei Brak because this is Rabbi Akiva.
They kind of left behind their whole towns without that.
Maybe they went the first day they came back.
The Talmidim came.
The Talmidim came, right? The Talmidim came. Maybe they brought their families. I don't know. They didn't have such humongous cities, you know, but... Okay, that's the five rabbis. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Hareni kiven shivim shana. Right, I'm like 70 years old. Lo zachisi. Oh, there's so much on this. I'll try to give you again. We could continue. I don't know how far we're going to get. Instead of tomorrow, if we could just continue wherever we're up to. Instead of, we could do Wednesday. We could do the Hashav Zagadol. Let's see how far we get today. So this parasha is about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So usually at this point, if you've never done it, I usually just say over the story. This I'm like 70 years old. There's a story in Brachos that this is in the middle of. So you usually say over the story because there's a nice message that you can give. Right? What's the story? Remember Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua. It's you could write it down. Brachos Chav Zayin. Right, embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Gamliel was removed from being the Nasi. They said, "Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be our new chief rabbi?" They looked around. Rabbi Yeshua, no, he was involved. No, okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he's the one. He's the one. So they get a whole rabbinic entourage, and they go to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's house, and they say, they knock on his door. Will you be our chief rabbi? This is what he's been waiting for his entire life. There's nothing greater. This is the highest position. Like, what should he say? Yes, I've been waiting for this my entire life. Thank you so much for coming. Where have you been? What's his answer? I have to go ask my wife. That's what the Gemara says. I have to go ask my wife. And the Gemara says, he goes to ask his wife, and you think it's a good position? And what does his wife say? Maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. What do you need this for? And what does he answer her? Better to be a glass kli for one day than to be an earthenware kli all my life. Better to be, if I'm in a position one day, then his wife says, but you don't have a white beard, you're only 18 years old. And miraculously overnight, he grew a white beard, And that's what we say, Amar Elizabeth Nazariah, Hare Ani, Kiven Shirim Shana. I'm like 70. So first of all, if people don't know that story, it's a really cool story and they like it. Chav Zayin Mabeis, Chav Chesman Alf. So it's a great story to say over. But the Bali Musar, add on a piece. It's a nice thing to say. Like, why do you have to go ask his wife for? What does this wife have to do with anything? This is his rabbinic position. You know, just enjoy it, take it. So explain the Bali Musar. Even if we're doing something in our ruchnius, we can't do it if it's stepping on the toes of somebody else. We're going to get ahead in our spirituality, and somebody else is going to have to suffer because of it. We're not allowed to do that. If you become the chief rabbi, you're going to be out of the house a lot more. You're going to be on the lecture circuit. You're going to be giving scholars in residence. You're going to be giving shiurim. You're going to be out of the house more. You're not going to be home for bath time. Right? You're not going to... No, so... He's got to ask his wife. It's going to impact her. You can never do anything in life, even for Hashem, unless you take into account all the people that it's going to affect. That's a very important point. Okay, that's on Lebanon and Zamazariah. One other quick thought on this. Again, if you have two, it's fine, because you have like two Siddharim. Right, so what's the machlok is about? Yimei chayecha, hayamim koi mechaya leilos. What is it? Ben Zoma says, Yimei chayecha olam hazeh, kol yimei chayecha lovin mosa Mashiach. What? It's a story. One time in Vilna, the Vilna Gaon was having his Seder, and right after reading this paragraph, he says, you know what, guys? The snake is not going to have legs when Mashiach comes. That's what he said. They had no idea what he was talking about. Right? They read this paragraph, and the Gra said, the snake is not going to have legs when Mashiach comes. And they said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? So the Gra says, it says in Parshas Bereishis, when the snake was cursed, Afar tochal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dirt your entire life. And what do we say in this paragraph? Kol yemei chayecha lahavi yemos haMashiach. Says the Gra, the snake's going to eat dirt when Mashiach comes. The snake's not going to have legs when Mashiach comes. The Gra hears this paragraph, and he just like sees things that we don't see. Lahavi yemos haMashiach. Right? The snake's not going to have legs when Mashiach comes. Okay. Baruch HaMakom. Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanasan Torah Lamo Yisrael. Why do we use the word HaMakom here? Hashem has a lot of names. Right, why Dafka? Okay, you going to get the tape? You going to listen to it? But, because again, there's a lot here. When you write it down or you listen, you write it afterwards. You got it? Okay, because like, you're at the Seder, you're like... Okay, that's fine. As long as you write enough that you're going to remember, and if not, just listen to it after. Again, I'll listen to this many shiurim you can listen to. Baruch, why do we use the word Hamakom here? Hashem has a lot of names. Why do we say the word Hamakom here? So, the Rav and Rav Schwab both say the same idea. The Rav and Rav Schwab. They say, where do we have Hamakom? Where do we find the word Hamakom? Where do we find a makom? There are two places that we have a makom. Hamakom Yenachem in a shiva house. In a shiva house, we say the word Hamakom Yenachem. One other place? Excellent. In Achenu, that we say Monday, Thursdays. In Achenu. Hamakom Yerachem, Yerachem Aleihem. So why do we use Hamakom there? In a shiva house? And... By Achenu, Achenu, Hamakom Yerachem. Says the Rav and Rav Schwab. In both of these situations, people feel very far from Hashem. Right? Somebody just died, or somebody's having tzaras. So you know how we comfort them? We say Hamakom. Hashem is. What does it mean? Hamakom is Hashem is everywhere. That's the word. The Shem Hamakom means Hashem is the place because it means there's no place that He's not. That's where the Shem Hashem come from. I know you feel far away, but Hamakom, Hamakom, Hashem is close to you. Hamakom Yerachem. Hamakom Yenachem. Hashem is close to you. He's everywhere. That's how we try to get chizik. Baruch Hamakom is an introduction to the four sons, which means all different types of personalities. We want to make sure that everybody knows that even if you think you're a Rasha, even if you think you're an Eino Deel Lashol, Hashem is close to all of you. Hamakom. No matter which son you are, Hamakom, Hashem is close to you. And then we continue that paragraph. Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem, Zatar Olam Yisrael. Keneged Arba Abanim Dibur Torah. Keneged. This I've mentioned before, I think this year sometime. But it's quoted in the Beis Halevi Haggadah. They quote this from Reb Chaim. What is that word, Keneged Arba Abanim Dibur Torah? What is that word, Keneged? Opposite. Opposite the four sons. Said Reb Chaim, in every other area of study, math. You have math for a second grader, you have math for a sixth grader, math for a tenth grader, and it builds up. The math of a high schooler is not the same math as a right elementary school. And the math of a college professor is not going to be the same. It's different material. There's beginner, intermediate. The same Rashi that a third grader learns, a high school boy learns, a kollel guy learns, and the greatest Rosh Yeshiva learns. It's the same Torah. The same Rashi. It's the same material. You get different things from it, but that's the magic of the Torah. The Torah is kineged arba banim. The Torah is in front of everybody. The Torah is equally open to every single Jew. Kineged arba banim dibur Torah. The Torah is kineged all of them. I've used that a lot. Torah is kineged all of them. What? Whoever you are, whatever level you're at, wherever you find yourself, Kinega, the Torah is right in front of you. And the Torah can relate to you. Okay. It's a great one. It's great. You don't want to miss this one. You don't want to miss this one. Well, you could run. Okay. But make sure you listen to it on the recording. The four sons. Question. It's not so Jewish to label children. Right? It's not like the kind of thing that like we believe in. Oh, you're the Russia. You're the Tom. Like, what is this about? Right? What are we labeling? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has an amazing thought. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, it's not four different sons. We're talking to ourselves. It's four stages of our own development. We start off as a baby, right? We're Eini Yodea L'Shol. We have no questions. Our whole world is our mother's milk and our diapers and our crib. Eini Yodea L'Shol. We don't know anything. Can't even ask. Next level up. A toddler. A Tom. What is it? You have any nephews and nieces? What do they say? What's this? What's that? What's this? It's all curiosity. Tom. That's the next level. Next level up, we would call it, you know, teenage rebellion years. Now, Russia. And then finally, Chacham, which he calls independence. But it's all levels that all of us go through. But here Rav Aaron says it's a key thing. They're not mutually exclusive. We all have them in us always. It's just sometimes, hopefully we have more chacham in us and a little more. Sometimes we all have a little naivete, some Tom in us also. And we all have a little bit of Russia in us too. You know, it's just that as we mature, it's not like those stages stop. But it's all four stages of the religious personality that develops. And we talk to each of the parts of our religious personality. And in that way, we are able to talk to ourselves. And each of these are, you know, you have to... each of these you have to mold towards the Kaddish Baruch. One thought about one of the four sons. I'm not saying we can talk about all four sons. One thought. I heard this thought from Rabbi Melech Schechter, Rabbi Schechter's father. I had the splits of driving him to and from Brooklyn for 2 years. He lived in Borough Park when I lived in Borough Park. I drove him to YU on like Monday, and I brought him back. He was in his 90s already. I put him in the car. I buckled him up. So he had some great stories. Some great stories. So he told me this part. He told me a story. He says, you know what? Once at a wedding, Rav Soloveitchik was Masader Kedushin, and he was under a chuppah, and he was Masader, and he called up Rav Moshe Feinstein to make the brachas of Seder Kedushin. You know, and the chassan says, but I don't understand. I told you to be Masader. You're my Masader Kedushin. He's like, I was Masader the Kedushin. I was Masader, and I called up Rav Moshe to be Masader Kedushin. He says,
he was by my son's wedding.
Rav Shechter. Shechter's wedding. He says, right? The Rav didn't want Rav Moshe was sitting there, so he says, that's what... Anyway. So, he told me this part. He says, Chacham, one of the questions that's in all of the Haggadahs is what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha's question? Right? We say the Rasha excludes himself. Right? Because what does the Rasha say? Ma ha'avodah hazos lachem. What is this you're doing? So we like rank on the Rasha. What does the Chacham say? So we also say Eschem. So what's the difference between Eschem and Lachem? Another question, Rav Schechter asks, why a Chacham says Eschem and the Rasha says Lachem? It's the same thing. And he excludes himself, so we jump on him. And what do you mean? But the Chacham says, what's the difference? So he quoted to me two sources. It's amazing. It's a Rashi. Sometimes you have something that like bothers you, but you don't realize that it bothers you until like somebody says it. You're like, yeah, that's always bothered me. There's a Rashi in Shlach, in Parsha Shlach. Remember Shlach, the Chet of the Meraglim? It says all the Meraglim are starting to go crazy. It says, Rashi quotes that, or the Pasuk says that, Kalev got up on a chair and said, do you know what Moshe did for us? And everybody thought that he was going to say something bad. And he says, you know what he did for us? He took us out of Mitzrayim and he gave us the money. He split the yamsu over it. Right? Why did they think he was going to say something bad? This is Kalev. Why did they think? I'll tell you exactly where the Rashi is. And I'll read you the Rashi. It's in Parsha Shlach. It says, Vayahas Kalev. Right. By Yaz Kalev, he silenced them. Oh, yeah. So he says, by Yaz Kalev, Pasuk Lamed, Yud Gimel Lamed. Right, Rashi quotes, Savach V'yamar V'chizu Bilvada Solana Ben Amram. Is this the only thing Ben Amram did for us? Hashomei Hayesav Shabbal Sarah Bignuso. People thought he was going to say anything bad. When we talk Shabbat, believe him, Moshe, so they were quiet. And he says, Karolor Asayamar. Why did they think he was going to say something bad? Explain Rav Schechter. Because he didn't say his name. If you say somebody's name, that shows that you're machshiv them. He called him Ben Amram. You know what Ben Amram did? He didn't say Moshe. That's why they thought that he was on their side. If you don't say somebody's name, right? He who shall not be named. Right, you can't even say his name because, right? I don't like to say like, I'll just mention Hitler Yamach Shemo. We don't want to say his name because that's giving it chashivus, right? Voldemort, you don't want to say his name, right? But and another example. Then we'll get back to the Chacham. Rav Schechter brought these two. Rav Melech Schechter, number one, he brought this Rashi, and he says number two, he says there's a story in Tanakh. The next time it's Machar Chodesh, the Haftar for Machar Chodesh. There's a story about, remember Yehonah's son and Shaul. Shaul hated David because he knew that he was going to lose the Malchus. And Yonasan was best friends with him. And there was a Rosh Chodesh party, and David, Yonasan said, Shaul's like, where's David? And Yonasan's like, he's not coming. back and forth. It's fascinating. If you look at the psukim, Shaul keeps saying, where is Ben Yishai? And Yonasan said, oh, David's not here yet. No, where is Ben Yishai? He keeps calling him Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai. He didn't say his name. And Yonasan kept saying, David, David. The duik in the psukim. We do it in the psukim, because when you say somebody's name, you're machshava. That's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. Yeah, they both use the words Eschem and Lachem. But what does the Rasha say? Mavod is Oslachem. What is this? What does the Chacham say? Mavod is the Chukam Hashem. Siva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. He says Shem Hashem. He says Shem Hashem. Yeah. So a lot of Haggadahs say the Chacham also says Shem Hashem. But like this gives it like oomph. What? Uses the Shem Hashem. So when he himself uses the Shem Hashem. Interesting. I always found it also interesting, like, I know it's a thing, like boys often like call each other by their last names. You ever notice that? And like girls like the first names. Like I've never had like a friend of my daughter's like say, oh, is... I once answered the phone, I remember, in the olden days when there was a phone in the house. Hi, is Rosner home? I said, you're talking to one of them. Right? They're like, no, I meant, you know, like, it's the last name. It's like, some people don't, it's like, I don't know, giving a first name, that's like your, I don't know if it's a thing, but interesting. Okay, so that is Chacham and Rasha v'chulu. Next, Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Next paragraph. Yochel, I might think you have to start, you know, saying the Haggadah before Rosh Chodesh, from Rosh Chodesh, Tamalom Arbayamahu. Right, there's a Havamina, they should start the Mitzvah Tzivitzin Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. Tamalom, no, we end up saying no, only only when there's Matzah and Maror in front of you. So the question now everybody has, what's the Havamina? Why would I have thought that you start counting Tzivitzin Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh? And why is that the... There's no Havamina to sit in the Sukkah before Sukkos. There's no Havamina to blow Shofar before Rosh Hashanah. So what's the Havamina? So one, many answers given, but one answer is Rosh Chodesh is when we received the power of our own time. HaChodesh is Elachem. Right, which is the mitzvah that means we're in control of time. And that was the beginning of our freedom. When we were given the mitzvah to control our time, that's B'nai Chorin. An Eved doesn't decide his own schedule. A Ben Chorin does. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Right, that's the Havamina. The Havamina is, you know, I might have thought, because we already, that's the beginning of the Gula process. We got a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Kamashwa, no, we wait until we have the Maisa HaMitzvahs. Wait until we have the Maisa HaMitzvahs. Okay. Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah Hayavoseinu v'achshav kevron amafan lavodaso. Originally, we were the Avodah Zarah. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. We mentioned of the Avodah Zarah, but does that really have any? We were originally of the Avodah Zarah, but not anymore. Does Avodah Zarah have any relevance to our lives? Says the Es Lubavitcher Rebbe. Like we met this. This is just history. You know, the Gemara says in two places, right, that the Chazal killed out the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Right, that's why we don't have a taiva to bow down to a tree anymore. So really, it's just totally not shayach. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Avodah Zarah is chai v'kayam. It's chai v'kayam. What in our lives is Yehari Valyavah? Yes, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What is Yehari Valyavar? Is it the meeting with the client or is it mincha? I can't miss this meeting. I can't miss this meeting. Okay, I might have to miss davening, okay. I can't miss this game. This game is the most important thing in my life. What are the most important things in our life? Yes, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What does our life revolve around? If it's something other than Avodas Hashem, that's Avodah Zarah. What are the most important things in our life? And we have to make sure our hierarchy is appropriate. Mitzchili, all the Avodah Zarah, I always say, oh, they were so foolish. All the Avodah Zarah. You know, cars. We try to educate our own children. Oh my gosh, you see that car? My mother, Allah Shalom. He always used to say, whenever I remember growing up, he used to be in the car, we used to pass a fancy house or a fancy car. She always had the same reaction. She'd see me like, wow, look at that car. You see that car, mommy? She used to say, they're not taking it with them. That was her line. They're not taking it with them. And then it was like, that was the end of my, you know, okay, I guess. You're right, I guess. You know, it's temporary. They're not taking it with them. We have to make sure that we don't have any Avodah Zarah in our lives. We have to make sure of that. Okay, Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. It's going straight. So maybe tomorrow we'll continue this. That's going to be the second half. You know, the second half of this of the Haggadah, you know. Sometimes I get shafted. Like you get to a certain point and then somebody at the Seder says, it's late, Miyat Dayenu. Right? And then go, you know, but we have to have Divrei Torah for during the meal too. And there's a lot of great stuff that we still didn't. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. Hashem kept his promise. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. Baruch Shomer. Right, Hashem kept his promise about the Bris Bein HaBesarim when he promised Abraham. We'll end with this one today, and then we'll continue with Hashem. Baruch Shomer, this is an unbelievable thought. When I first saw this a number of years ago, it's so powerful. Bris Bein HaBesarim. Right, Hashem kept the promise. Right, that's what he promised Abraham. He's going to take us out 400 years. What is Bein HaBesarim? What does the word Bein HaBesarim mean? Between the parts. Between the parts. Why? What is the Bris Bein HaBesarim? Because Rashi quotes in Parshas Lech Lecha that in the olden days, you know how you made a covenant, an agreement with each other? You cut an animal in half. You put the two halves on the side of the road and you walked in between. That was how you made an agreement in the olden days. So that's what Hashem did with Avraham. They cut an animal in half. They put it on the two sides. And then Avraham walked in between, and then the fire of Hashem walked in between. Is that a strange way of making an agreement? Like, that's wacky. Like, what's the message of cutting an animal in half and then walking in between? Says the Sefer HaIkarim. Sefer HaIkarim is one of the Rishonim. Rabbi Yosef Albo. It's one of the major philosophical works of the Rishonim. So you know what that type of agreement does? A covenant means you recognize, instead of being two different individual parties, you make yourselves into two halves of one unit. That's what the covenant's goal is. Don't look at yourselves anymore as two people, two parties. You're two halves of a unit. You take an animal and split it in half, and then you walk in between to show that you're really two halves. That's what a covenant does. That's what Hashem did by the Bris Bein HaBesarim. He kept his promise, Baruch Shomer, because you know what he promised us? He's going to be our other half. It's not just a promise of a third party. Hashem said, I'm with you. I'm your other half. I'm married to you. And that's what we appreciate by the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That's what we appreciate. Baruch Shomer. Okay, we've only done the first half of the Haggadah, or the first third. Beis Hashem, we will continue. Continue Beis Hashem tomorrow, but today, 5:30 to 6:30. Totally new. 5:30 to 6:30. 5:30 to 6:40. We'll see how far we get, but...